Live from the Icebox Studio in Montgomeryville, Pennsylvania, it's the Bill and Corey Show.
I'm Bill.
And I'm Corey.
Welcome back. And this is going to be our last episode for a while. They're doing some renovations in this in our
facility,
office.
Facility, yeah.
And we're going to get booted out until the end of May. So we're going to pre-record some episodes next week. They still call it pre-recording.
Yeah.
Oh, I guess we don't have tape. It's not a tape thing.
So. Well, it's still recording. You didn't say pre-tape. You said pre-record.
Pre-tape. Okay.
Record still works across multiple.
Pre-tape. So we're going to pre-tape a couple episodes, and I'm not quite sure what we're going to do during the office shutdown, whether we're going to do some WebEx kind of thing, pre-recorded, or we're going to, we might come in and do a pre-record in on the shop floor.
On the shop floor, the shop floor is still open. It's just the office.
So we'll, so we're going to have actual people working here. You won't notice any difference with us out of the office. So we got some, we got some good questions. We always have good questions. First question is going to be for Corey. What is this regulator, dual or single stage? And it says, see picture. So you want to put up first graphic?
That's the regulator.
So that's an old guy.
It is an old guy. Now, I was hoping, actually, I requested a picture of the back as well because that's how you could easily tell if it may be or may not be a dual stage regulator.
Okay,
but I had talked.
Turn off.
Take the picture off. But I talked to the gentleman. I was like, is there something protruding out the back or is it pretty even? He told me it was pretty even because what I surmised was it was either our Model 1, which this is our Model 1, and the knob is a little bit different on it, but we typically sold them with the knob in the picture. And so I asked him if it was pretty flat on the back side, and he said, yeah, as you can see, this one's pretty.
Oh, you want to zoom in? You want to do a zoom in?
It's pretty flat on the back.
Yeah.
Or.
Well, if you turn it, zoom in again.
I'll turn it.
Depends on what you call flat.
So well, I know,
flat in the
even,
back,
but just, but when you compare it to this is our
still zoom
eight,
in.
This is our 8 series, which
dual stage,
keep
the zoom in,
and so this is another one that looks very similar to the back. But if you look at the back of it,
that's the first stage sticking out.
Yeah, that's not very flat comparatively speaking. So as you can see, there'll be something protruding out of it too. To do it, so hopefully he'll send me a picture of the back, and we can double check to make sure what type it is. Because he's mostly concerned if it's dual or single stage.
Yeah, and it kind of looked like the number on the label kind of looked like a 1.
So. It did. It looked like a 1, and so the number had worn off, and the only numbers that he had on it was 580, which just tells me it was a CGA 580, which it was hooked up to argon, so that makes sense.
Yeah, that's good. Okay. This is another interesting question. It says, can you clarify why the 3210B series is not adequate for pure fluorine? So they wouldn't take no for an answer. So we had to explain
pure fluorine. What's so bad about fluorine, Bill?
I
put fluoride in my toothpaste.
Yeah, that's
only
a little
one
bit
letter
different.
Off.
Fluorine likes to fluorine. Pure fluorine doesn't like to be pure fluorine. It wants to bond with something.
So it's needy.
It's needy. it's more of an oxidizer than oxygen. So it's probably the most reactive.
Then why don't we call it a fluxidizer or a fluoridizer?
You could. I don't know. It will attack pretty much everything. And you think most metals stainless steel is good for everything,
mm-hmm.
right?
Oh, yeah.
Someone says stainless steel, it's great. You're not going to rust, none of that stuff. It's the best thing in the whole world.
It can burn.
And it's not, even for corrosive stuff, it ain't stainless steel, isn't it? So what we do hit the 3220 series. You want to zoom in.
Stainless just means that it never gets
This is actually a Monel regulator. It's a little shiny. Monel's kind of looks like stainless.
It's got a little bit of brass in it.
Yeah, it's kind of shined up, but it kind of looks stainless. It's a Monel valve. This is Monel body. Monel with a capital M.
Yes.
It's an alloy 400 or something. Monel fitting here. And internals, I wish I had these down. But it's, you got, I think, probably Hassalloy, things like that. So with the, now we used to sell the 3220A series. We used to sell it for pure fluorine.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a difference between them. You can zoom back out. For concentrations of fluorine above 10%, you need to, there's a few things you got to keep in mind. One of them is the seat of the regulator, and I was the valve seat. You know, I was going to bring one in, I forgot. So it needs, typically it's like Teflon or something like that, and that's where the valve inside in here that controls the pressure, that has to seat against something. You want a soft seat.
Yeah.
So Teflon ain't going to cut it. You say, Teflon? Nothing reacts with Teflon. Jeez, except sometimes you scrape it in egg stick.
Yeah, it does. But it does react to it. It does react to a steel spatula.
So with fluorine, it has to be a bronze-filled Teflon seat.
Yeah, so think of fluorine like a steel spatula.
Something like that. So bronze, it seems kind of odd. So you got Teflon, you got to put in some bronze speckles or something like that. So it's not an easy thing to, you can't just make that yourself. You also have to passivate it. And what passivated is, it's kind of like...
We like our regulators active.
Like, yeah. It's kind of like, it's like creating rust, putting a corrosion on. So what you do is there's different levels of fluorine you put through there. So it gives it a nice little fluorine coating in there.
Yes, yes.
So it's kind of protective coating. So it doesn't... So
it's like when you have that dedicated, not really the same thing as an anode, but sometimes a little bit of corrosion provides corrosion protection.
Yeah,
I think
they do that with copper.
Yeah.
So I'm probably messing things up on that.
Yeah, I don't know the technical terms.
So yeah, so that's why we don't do it. We sold them, but we didn't, the people we bought it from, we had serious lead time issues, like a year, and then it was like, after a year, it was like, we'll get it sometime. So we just kind of gave up on that.
So why couldn't somebody with 100% fluorine passivate? No,
it could. Also, with fluorine, you got some. It's like the C/V of a valve is important. You want to keep that low because high flow, you could do all this passivation stuff, the bronze filled Teflon, and then you get some high flow fluorine, and then boom, all bets are off.
Well, it's like when you were talking about oxygen. If you open it up too quickly, it flows.
Oh yeah.
I mean,
well, it's a little bit different.
I know, but it's in a similar vein.
Yeah. So that's fluorine's kind of nasty stuff.
Not the same as adiabatic compression.
No, I don't know what it is. Okay. Now, next one is.
It's a fun title.
Oh, I just tossed this question in there. I didn't really edit it. So here it goes, right off the screen.
Yes,
but this regulator I'm inquiring about can regulate pressures below atmospheric. The 3491A, that's this. It gives us the, I don't know why I didn't take out the, you can buy this on the online store.
It's store.mathis.com.
I can read out where it is.
You're not going to read all those letters?
Yeah, I know. It says, and the chart on the website says it can regulate to 1 millimeter mercury absolute, up to 1.8 PSIG.
Very low pressures.
Very low pressures. I know the gauge isn't referred to absolute scale, so that's where it gets a little confusing. So the gauge, you want to zoom in? Okay. If you can read that gauge, right now it's kind of in the middle, that's zero. And then over on this side is millimeters of mercury, and it goes down to 760. Actually, goes a little bit further than that.
But it's negative.
Yeah, it's negative. And then we talk about delivery pressure is 1 millimeter absolute, and then so it gets confusing. What the thing I'm trying to, you want to, yeah, zoom back out. The thing I want to talk about is when you're talking about in the vacuum range, people can get kind of confused on it.
Mm-hmm.
They might say 760 millimeters of mercury. Well, is that like 760 millimeters absolute is atmospheric pressure minus 760 millimeters of mercury is vacuum. It's like almost full vacuum.
It's like when you're in space.
Yeah, like you're in space. But it's so it is confusing when you talk about vacuum ranges, and people mess it up all the time, and it's just because they're not used to dealing with it.
And when people call about their Dyson, it really gets bad.
No. Yeah. We haven't had any calls about the Dysons. But yeah, so it could be kind of confusing. So, but that's 760 millimeter absolute is also equivalent to minus 30 inches of mercury. So it's kind of one of those interesting things. So it's So it's not exactly 760 for full vacuum. But so when you talk about that, you have to look at, are they talking about absolute, which would be absolute, so it's zero absolute would be so full vacuum.
You start the scale at zero PSIG in space. So if you go to Earth, it'd be 4.7, it would read, if you were doing PSIG.
Okay. So
it is confusing.
So it is confusing. You talk about 1 millimeter, and we specify 1 millimeter absolute. Mm-hmm. So that's at this end of the scale. I want to zoom in. So 1 millimeter absolute's at this end of the scale. 1 millimeter vacuum's up here near to zero. And it goes down to 760. So that is a little, it's confusing, and it's sometimes you got to stop and think a little bit and then call and ask questions or something.
Yeah, there you go.
So this is kind of, it's a vacuum line regulator, so it's low pressure. You got the inlet in the back, outlet in the bottom, just kind of like a regular industrial thing. So this is great for vacuum applications. Okay, now we get to, okay, this is a two-part question. This is kind of fun. We did this one before. Now we're a little more in tune to what's going to happen. So someone asked about, can you change the alarm volume on the PM24? Want to zoom in on that one?
Yeah, so the customers thought it was too low and wanted to raise it up.
Is that what they said?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It was too low.
They got a noisy.
That's what I said earlier. I said that's going to be a noisy place. I hope people are wearing ear protection around it if they can't hear this through the.
Yeah, this is pretty loud. I want to say 90 decibels, but I didn't pick it up. So, no, we don't have a little adjustment knob on there. This will we'll plug it in and it's going to. Yeah. And then I will silence buttons up top. Okay. So that's your startup. It goes through all the flashes, lights, and stuff. And then you're going to get a 10-second delay because this isn't hooked up to anything. About a 10-second delay. And then it's going to be loud. And then you hit the silencer. So that's how loud it is.
And there's
louder
no adjustment
when it's pointing to you. Well, we talked about this before.
Oh, yeah. If it's too loud.
If it's too loud. And we do this when we're doing work on it and technicians are working on it because they just need to know it goes off. They don't need to. So they take their, instead of putting ear protection in, they still wear ear protection.
This is still ear protection.
This
is still ear protection.
And you put it, be careful, you don't cram it in there because you got a little diaphragm.
Yeah, yeah.
So you put that in there. That's one of the little foam plugs.
And this type of.
And then it goes through its little startup, and it's kind of neat, and the lights flash and stuff. And then it waits for default. And then,
there we go.
A little bit quieter.
Yeah. Now this could be a prime opportunity, though, to use the two out,
zoom in.
Use the output, to go to another area where it's much more beneficial to be able to hear the noise. Maybe there's an office or something. Maybe there's another place to put it. So you could, and this goes into our next question. I'm setting you up, Bill.
Okay, the next question, I want to show this. This is the inputs for the different ones. You'd have right over here, left
and if
over
you're,
here.
If you're a loyal watcher of the Bill and Corey Show, you'll remember this from a few weeks ago.
Yeah, and then we've got, this is the outlet. So the next question is, I love this. This guy must be down south. Do y'all sell an extra strobe and horn and siren for the PM24?
I wonder if it's the same person. You never know.
Could be.
You never know. That sometimes happens.
And yes and no. Yes. You can buy another one of these.
Yeah.
And you can wire up to the output.
It's a strobe sort of. The lights aren't as strobey as a strobe.
Yeah, it's not really strobey. But you get a right and a left, or you can have it that both are wired together and stuff. Now, we've got a very good video in our YouTube channel, Matheson's Specialty Gas Equipment.
Off Zoom. I think we want to go out there.
Okay, thank you. so we got a great video that shows you the wiring and stuff. And we talked about this a couple weeks ago. You can hook up a horn and strobe, and you have to be careful about how it's wired. Mm-hmm. Some of them are just, hey, give me voltage, we'll make noise. And those aren't And those aren't going to work so great with the PM24 because this is gonna open up when it's an alarm. So it's kind of you're gonna have to put a relay in there.
There's gonna be no electricity when the alarm goes off. That's what causes the
yeah. That's the problem.
That's what causes the alarm to go
yeah.
off.
And you've got in the online store, the specs tell you the I believe it tells you the amperage, what kind of amperage you can pull through here and voltage. So you want to check on that before you. Mm-hmm. You don't want to wire up to 20, 50 amps.
Yeah, so you want it to fail. You want to fail on siren.
Yeah. So you might need to stick a relay in there or get a siren that'll accept that. But you can use another one of these. Mm-hmm. So.
All right. Wow, there we go.
Oh, yeah. That's all the questions we got for this week. And like I said, we're going to be doing pre-recorded stuff, pre-taping it, and then tape delay. And then I don't know what else we're going to do for the other weeks.
We'll try to predict what could happen in the world when we take
that could be it. So, thanks for watching the Bill and Corey show.
Tune
in again next week.
Tune in again next week. The VCRs might not need to be set, but you know we'll keep you informed.
Well, it'll air then.
It'll air then. Yeah, it'll still air.
Okay, so what are you going to say?
Set your VCRs.